You know, the boy experienced unexpected miracles, both of them. But the boy with the cookies didn't expect to get any cookies, so he went home with 23 packages. The boy in the story with the loaves and fishes offered the lunch that he brought for the day and helped feed 5,000 people. And that was the real miracle. What Jesus did with the boy's unselfish act of sharing is amazing. So let's look at the story a little closer. The first thing I think that we need to look at, it's really quite simple story. Jesus and the disciples were headed from one place to another. They had just crossed the Sea of Galilee and gone through Tiberias. This was the height of Jesus' popularity, and people coming out of the woodwork to see him and to hear them, hoping to see some sign, some miracle that would point him as being the Messiah. Now, it was no different in Tiberias. The crowds were getting larger and larger, and as Jesus and the disciples headed up to the mountain across from Tiberias, the crowds followed. Jesus sat down and saw the crowds coming. Philip was from that area and would know where to buy food. That's when Jesus put Philip to the test. "Philip, where are we going to buy enough bread to feed all these people?" Well, Jesus and Philip was just sitting there, but Philip was a little frustrated. He said, not only was there no store or baker within the area that he knew that would have enough of bread, there weren't any others in sight. Cell phones and takeout hadn't been invented yet. So Philip looked at the size of the crowd, and the adding machine in his head went off, and he said, "Lord, even if we could get enough of bread, it would take more than 6 months' wages to feed this crowd. And then they would only get a little bit." Well, let's look a little closer. And that's when Andrew stepped up and said, "Lord, there's a boy here with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. I know it's not much, but I love the buts and the ifs." I think at that moment, Jesus must have just smiled. And he looked from Andrew to Philip and told them to make the people sit down. And after giving thanks, he began to distribute food to the people. And when everyone had their fill, Jesus collected 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, all throughout Jesus' ministry, the significant miracles, sometimes even the significant teaches, comes as a result of an interruption on the journey. They come as a chance encounter. And today we begin a series that looks at some of the chance encounters. What is it that what this little boy had? A chance encounter, if you would. Think about that. We're going to be looking at chances. Do we have chances to bless somebody in our lives? How many chances do we get? Well, think about what Philip saw, the obstacles. Now, I know why. He had been a disciple for a while, and maybe the businessman in him was still too strong for the man of faith who wanted to take over. Who knows? But all that Philip saw was the obstacles. There's a lot of people in the world like that. I've searched to see if I could confirm, but haven't found any photos or even real proof sustaining the report that on one corner in a certain community, there's a bar. I loved the bars at one time in my life, and this bar is called the Last Chance Saloon. And directly across the street at the other corner is a storefront. And it's a church. It's called Second Chances Church. Now, I think that's pretty clever. A lot of people think that we've blown their one and only chance in life. You might have thinking that maybe that's you, that you've blown your chance for success, for fulfillment, and worst of all, they think that maybe they've blown their last chance for forgiveness. These people don't think that they don't have any chances left and that God could never forgive them. Their actions are just too horrible for God to ever forgive, they think. And these ideas have become an obstacle in their life and faith. We call it in the Emmaus community, obstacles to grace. But I love the buts. Andrew saw the possibilities. That's the way he was wired. He was always looking at the possibilities. He's sort of like the old German schoolmaster who, when he entered a class of boys in the morning, used to remove his cap and bow ceremoniously to them. And then one of the students is asking why he did it. His answer was this: you never know what one of these boys may someday become. And he was right, because one of his students was Martin Luther. I digress. Andrew did not really know what he was doing when he brought the boy to Jesus, but he saw the possibilities. What did he see? He saw a little boy, and he didn't have much to offer, but he brought and gave everything he had. Almost like the story of the widow's mite, if you would. He saw an opportunity and a chance to help. He offered himself and his gift. Then we know, as Paul Harvey says, we know the rest of the story. Now this boy reminded me of something that I learned in Israel. In Israel, there's two major bodies of water. In the north is the beautiful Sea of Galilee, fed by the Jordan River as it flows from Mount Hermon southward. And this body of water symbolizes the richness of the land. The area supports a very productive fishing industry. And all around are fields that produce abundantly from the life-giving waters of the Jordan and the sea. Because really, the Sea of Galilee is actually a freshwater lake. There is even a tourist trade that is built up around it, like any other body of water. So as the Jordan River leaves the Sea of Galilee, it flows through a productive farmland. But within 60 short miles, it feeds another body of water, known as the Dead Sea. It's called the Dead Sea for a reason, because there's no greenery, no fish, no growth, nothing lives in this area. The salt and the minerals and crust, everything that it touches, is the only place that I was able to do, and you can. When you go into the water at the Dead Sea, you can float. You can't sink because the salt content was too high. Well, I digress again. What happened to the water in those few short miles? Actually, nothing happened to the water. In fact, that the Dead Sea has no outlet, the water from the Jordan is dumped into a salt and mineral basin. Whatever flows in stays there. Whatever it receives, it keeps for itself. Now, I think there's a lesson there for you and me. You see, we receive so many blessings from God's gracious hand, but sometimes we're like Philip and all we see are the obstacles of life. Sometimes we're like Andrew and the boy, and we see the possibilities and turn them into opportunities to help. That's the way we were created. That's how we're supposed to respond, like the little boy. If we receive love, we have to give love. If we receive a financial blessing, we have to share our bounty with those that are less fortunate. If we are blessed, we have to share those blessings in return. And when we do, we're like the Jordan flowing through the Sea of Galilee. I always said, you know, blessings are really neat because blessings beget blessings. But what happens if we don't? Then we're like the Dead Sea. And the gift dies, and something inside of us dies along with it. William Barclay, a great biblical commentator, and he has a daily Bible study, and this is what he wrote in one of his commentaries. Jesus needs what we can bring him. It may not be much, but he needs it. It may be that the world is denied a miracle after a miracle and triumph after triumph because we not bring to Jesus what we have and what we are. If we would lay ourselves on the altar of his service, there's no saying what he could do with us and through us. Now, we may be sorry and embarrassed that we have not more to bring, and rightly so, that's okay, but there's no reason for failing to bring what we have. Little is always much in the hands of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful commentary? Well, in conclusion, This young lady was listening to a Christian radio station, and as she drove to the grocery store one morning, the person on the radio was talking about kindness and said, "I wonder how many of you are listening to me on your car radio and thinking of how you can be kind while you're driving." Well, the young lady began thinking about what he was saying. Then a few blocks away, she saw a woman waiting in her car to come out of her driveway. Traffic was heavy, and Dorothy knew this woman and that she would have a hard time getting out. So she slowed down to let her out. By the way, the woman was named Dorothy. She slowed down to let her out. And when she got to the grocery store, she saw a parking space. And as she started pulling in, another car on the opposite side also started pulling in. Dorothy backed out and found another parking spot. As they both got out of their cars, the driver of the other car said, "Ma'am, I can't believe what you just did. Anyone else would have made me back out." Dorothy explained, "Well, she had heard on the radio about showing love." And the two women began talking, and Dorothy discovered the woman had just moved into the area. Didn't know anyone and was looking for a church. So Dorothy invited her to come to church. And a strong friendship blossomed from a chance meeting and a small act of kindness. You see, chance encounter can change that woman's life and a friendship grow. And a chance encounter can change not only that little boy's life, but give us one of the best love miracle stories is Jesus' ministry, all because they put their small gifts into the hands of Christ. So this is our challenge. It's to bring our loaves and fishes, no matter how meager or small, and put them in the hands of Jesus. Our challenge is to look for our own chance to help. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in, and hope and pray that when you look at these biblical stories and understand really what's taking place, it's an encouragement to all of us, because we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another. So thanks for tuning in, and hope to see you in person at Bethel in church, or if you have your own church, why, think about some of the things that we talk about on this broadcast known as The Word is the Way to Life. That was my radio ministry. That was the title of my program, because who is the Word? If the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it is Jesus, the Word, who has all the answers to life. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in. God loves you, and so do we.